In neighboring Belarus this weekend, riot police arrested and beat demonstrators protesting last week's presidential vote there, which returned strongman Alexander Lukashenko to power. The U.S. and the European Union have responded to the rigged vote by expanding the list of Belarusians who will be denied visas to the West. President Lukashenko is now on that list. NPR's Michelle Kellerman reports on how sanctions might or might not work.
President Lukashenko can forget about European ski trips, and his aides may have to forgo their shopping sprees. That's the message the U.S. and the European Union are sending, according to David Courtwright, co-author of the book The Sanctions Decade.
It means that they're less able to access their financial resources. They may not be able to travel to Paris or London to go shopping. These are very small measures, but they are a form of irritant, and they send a signal politically that the European Union, the U.S., other Western governments are not willing to accept repressive measures and undemocratic procedures.
They also send a signal, he says, to democracy activists that the West has not forgotten them. The U.S. and the European Union rejected the outcome of last Sunday's vote and condemned Belarus authorities for rounding up hundreds of demonstrators. The election was just the latest in a long list of complaints that the West has about Lukashenko, often dubbed the last dictator in Europe. Both the U.S. and the European Union have had some targeted sanctions in place for the past few years, but a European Commission spokeswoman, Emma Udwin, says for the first time, President Lukashenko himself will be denied visas along with other top officials.
There can sometimes be some exceptions to that if there is to be some meeting held that would allow us to raise our important points about the need to promote democracy and human rights. It does not allow for exceptions that will allow tourism, shopping.
And she says Belarus officials could have their assets frozen.
Now, that is a measure that can have a significant psychological effect. It's quite hard to implement. We've been warning the Belarusian authorities that we intended to take further restrictive measures if these elections were not free and fair since last November. So my guess is that anyone who had money in Europe has had plenty of time to think about putting it somewhere else.
The idea behind these targeted sanctions is to try to get some of Lukashenko's supporters in the government to split with the hardline Belarus leader. But Michael McFaul, a professor at Stanford University and an expert on the region, sees little signs of a split at this point. And he says while targeted sanctions can be effective at times, he's skeptical they'll make much of a difference in this case.
I think it's rather optimistic to believe that this would then cause these particular individuals to defect from Mr. Lukashenko. This is an authoritarian regime. This is not a regime that has a bunch of oligarchs, billionaires, who have assets abroad. These are people that have money only because of their ties to the state.
McFaul says broader sanctions might be more effective, though European officials are reluctant to punish the population of Belarus. David Courtwright says there's always the possibility that sanctions could backfire.
There is always the danger of a rally around the flag effect, where a leader can try to use the pressure that's applied from the outside to say that the country is being victimized and to rally the people to the side of the government.
He thinks this is different because everyone is going out of their way to say they only want to punish officials who prevented Belarus from having a free and fair election. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, Washington.